great future. We're talking real money.
Something about money. It just, there's just something about money. Not something about Mary. That was an old movie. Something about money. There's just
funnier.
Something.
Funnier than
well,
this
something
show.
About Mary is much funnier than our show.
Yeah.
We try to entertain, but we're nowhere near that entertaining. But we do try to inform and educate when it comes to managing that stuff that you use, that you earn and you spend. And we want to try to convince you to save and invest properly. Not, you see, one thing you're going to find if you listen to our show or podcast for very long is that we are not like the others out there who are talking about money all the time. We are not like CNBC or Fox Business or the Dave Ramsey or any of the others. We are very unlike them in that what we're trying to do is teach you how to invest academically based on real live evidence, not just somebody's flippin' hunch.
New ideas.
Cause new ideas,
along.
But based on old information.
Yeah, and it feels like that people always want to either overcomplicate. Well, first of all, most people don't start and save soon enough. That turns into a problem later because I just read this number, 40% of households 55 and older lack sufficient resources to maintain their lifestyle standard in retirement.
Which is very, very sad. It really is.
Yeah, I hate it. And then what do you do?
In large part, it's due to, well, it's due to a lot of things. It's due to the fact that we don't save. It's due to overconfidence, that we somehow believe that magic is going to occur later in life. But it also has a lot to do with the way we've been investing. And I think investing has always felt somehow distant for most people, not something that's achievable. It's too complicated, and we've fallen into a lot of traps. Like early on in the 50s, you would invest in life insurance, and then it was like that. Then they came out with some like fixed annuities and things. Mm-hmm. But it's always some product that is making the middleman a lot of money. And we, for many, many years, have been telling you it is a horrible, horrible idea to have any kind of an annuity product in your qualified retirement plan because they're expensive in one way or another. And yet it's still so difficult to get those wrung out of the retirement plan community.
Well, they're back in. I mean, they were never really out entirely.
But I'm trying to get rid of them.
BlackRock putting annuities in American Worker 401ks. If you work at, and probably not that many of you do, the Tennessee Valley Authority, Advanced Auto, et cetera. But the point of the matter is, here's where I struggle. Because in the article itself, it says that people have a tendency to not have enough money. And somehow it infers that if you take that money and you put it into an annuity contract, that it'll work out because your benefit will be paid out over a lifetime. Well, no, you still take the same amount of money. And by the way, now there's going to be BlackRock, they don't write the annuity. Did you see this part? Of course, the Bright House writes the annuity. So BlackRock's going to get a little piece of this. Bright House going to get a little piece. Everybody's going to be lining up there at the trough to get a little piece of your money. And somehow just giving it to somebody else to get it paid out at a fixed amount is going to end up paying you out more. I don't believe it.
It can't. The math doesn't support it. That's the problem. You have to remember that everything in any industry involves costs. And the more people who are involved, or the bigger the guarantee they provide you, or the returns they give, the more expenses are going to be hidden somewhere along the way to get to that point. For example, if an annuity company says, we're going to give you a very safe 4% per year return, well, they've got to be making 2%.
Yeah.
Return on your money.
So what are they doing to make a safe 6? There is no safe
6%
in today's world.
But what they've done is they've effectively, through legal sleight of hand, hidden from you all of those risks. They're not apparent to you. They're tucked away somewhere. And that's not good. That is something we want, but it is not something we should be taking, accepting.
So I don't, anywhere along the way you are on the road to retirement, I would not add an annuity to my retirement plan. Again, when you get to retirement or close, you could, I guess, use an immediate annuity of some kind, giving the money to somebody else, then paying you back part of it. Again, the interest rates there are not going to be much to help you. It's not going to make it look different. There's a lot of other ways to fix this, and I don't think annuities are the right direction to go.
Annuities are the wrong direction to go because annuities have all of these extra hidden fees. They must have them. They must have them because there has to be insurance attached to an annuity for it to be an annuity, for it to be tax deferred. And bear in mind, all of your qualified retirement plans are already tax deferred.
Tom and I created Vestry to help everyone become a better investor, even those who will never be clients. Let one of our advisors help you start your financial plan or solve a money problem free with no obligation or high-pressure sales pitch at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Oh, yeah. We're talking your money, money, money here on the show. I'm Don McDonald, 855-935-TALK. That's a phone number, and it's an important one because it brings you not only to the show to ask your questions live when we're on the air on Saturdays on Como, but it also is a way to ask us questions the rest of the time that we'll answer on our podcast, of which we do five a week or so. Most of the time we do five a week. 855-935-8255. Irwin, you're up next. Welcome to Talking Real Money.
Hey, Irwin.
Well, good afternoon.
Hey.
Good afternoon to these guys. So my company's being sold to somebody else, and we are in Fidelity currently. But we're going to be switching to a company called Principal.
Ew.
I've never
heard
of them.
Stop. Halt.
Oh. Ow. Yuck.
Fidelity, of course, is
I think Fidelity's
the largest holder of 401k plans.
Well, that's good.
Principal, of course, is known for their
company.
Yeah, their insurance. So I wonder why. How big is your company? Big, small?
Well, we don't get a choice.
Right? I know.
No, I get it.
I know.
But that's just what they use. So I'm going to have to, when we get the 401k over there, I might have to have you guys take a look and see what the hell I should be investing in.
You will.
I can't find anything that they have.
Wait a minute. They haven't finished acquiring your company yet, right?
No, November 1st is when we officially switch.
Okay,
and
well,
that's when it all starts.
And you will then get a list of the 401k choices.
It'll probably take place at the end of the year.
It should be that you will have the option, this is usually the case, to you should be able to remove the Fidelity 401k and roll that over, shouldn't you?
Into an IRA.
Into an IRA.
I've never seen Principal ever, so.
Yeah, I would be, if I could do it, Irwin, if I had the option, and I think you will, to transfer that out into your own IRA, which you could, by the way, keep with Fidelity, which would probably be really simple. You could contact Fidelity and say, I just want to keep my IRA with you guys. I would probably do that. And then on November 1st, when you get the principal choices, either call us or set up an appointment with one of the Vestry advisors to help you go through those.
Or just send us the list.
Or send us the list. Yeah, we'll go through it with you.
And by the way, it probably in the principal plan. I like Don's idea here because yes, move the money to an IRA. You can then the whole world is available. Fidelity would have some great index funds to use, some of which we mentioned on TalkingRealMoney.com. But then in terms of principal, here's something to think about. Every plan now offers a target date fund of some kind. So it could be as simple as just having the target date fund because that's going to be lower expense at your new plan. And then with the IRA, you're going to build in other asset classes that you don't really get exposure to very much in the target date, small, international, emerging market. You get just tiny, tiny little bit of those in emerging markets. You could sort of overweight those in the IRA. Then you could build a pretty decent retirement plan for the long haul.
Okay, good. Well, actually, Fidelity's letting us keep it where it is. So we can actually borrow off it like a normal 401k if we really wanted to, but I'm not going to do that. It's just principle. I can't find what they have. When the list comes out, you will be my second call.
Yeah, Principal is an insurance company primarily. They do manage money. They act more like a broker, and so they'll have funds with whom they work that will be offered to you. They may even offer you like some of their annuities, which would be like, ew. But they're going to offer you some mutual funds. The key is to try to find the funds that have low expenses, that are index-based as opposed to actively managed, that are passively managed, and that that are easy for you to deal with, like a target date fund. So when you get the list, let us know. We'd love to go through it with you. Thank you so much for the call, Erwin. We really
appreciate it. Our condolences about the principal thing. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I mean, that's just a bad decision. It really is. I mean, if you woke up tomorrow, would you say, I want to go to a Fidelity or a principal? Principal is in the business of writing insurance products.
Well, no, they are an investment advisor.
I know, but if you woke up, which would be your choice? You wouldn't wake up and say, I'm going to go hire somebody who's in the insurance business to take care of my retirement assets.
No,
that would not be the way to go.
I would not.
That's why I say that.
And they are a commission. Now, probably not. I don't know about the 401k.
No, but they're not going to.
Well,
oh,
plan. Excuse me, sir. You're wrong.
Do I have to get the leaf blower out again?
You're wrong. Brokers do sell commissioned plans in 401ks. I know, because I'm married to one who did back when she was a broker.
That was a long, no offense.
They can still do it, but they can still legally do it. They sell, I mean, have you seen American funds in a 401k plan?
Yeah, I have, and I'm hoping that they're not paying that commission, but you're right. I don't know that for sure.
Well, they could be B or C shares, too, possibly.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You
really want to spoil the weekend. There was no air blower this weekend. Things were looking good, and then boom. Go do that. Thanks a lot.
You know, and so many of these 401k What are the people called who run it?
ERISA?
The trustees. So many of these trustees violate their fiduciary responsibility left and right because nobody's watching.
And no, there have been over the last 10 years, way more attention paid to all this, way more companies in hot water, and frankly, to move your company's plan from Fidelity to Principal, I question the trustees on that too. Because
I
is that
too.
Really a fiduciary?
Is it?
I think you can make a case it's not.
Here's the thing. Yeah. Here's the question: is it in the best interest of the participants? That's that word. That's the word. That's the word that helps keep a broker from selling you. Not a broker, an advisor. Let's say you got an investment advisor who's trying to put you into an S&P 500 fund. I'm just going to use that as an example. And this S&P 500 fund pays them a commission and has a 0.5% annual fee. It's still an S&P 500 fund. They're saying, well, it's appropriate. It's an S&P 500 fund. But you can get the Vanguard S&P 500 fund for 0.05 of a point and no commission. Which one is in the client's best interest? The key word is best.
Yeah, because there's the same product, as you point out, one's just 10 times more expensive.
Right.
Pretty easy to figure that one
best out. Best interest, you see. Best interest. And that's one of the things. When we had that question about the financial advisor in the Seattle area who was selling indexed annuities and saying they were in his, he was a fiduciary when he was selling them because they were in his client's best interest. No. He may believe that they're the right product for his clients. That's suitability. That's a suitable investment in his opinion. But he knows darn good and well it is not the best. Of all the investments that are available, he's saying these index annuities are the best for his clients.
Well, they are for the 7%.
Not for his clients. They're the best for him.
I was being, didn't you, somebody say something about dripping sarcasm or sarcasm is.
Review.
Molasses.
Yeah, that's you.
Yeah.
Okay. You're the sarcasm dripper. And yet he gave you top billing. You're the one responsible for the vast majority of the drippy, sappy, molasses laden sarcasm. And yet, what does he do? What does he do? You know, since you're better than me. 855-935-TALK. I think I need a break for traffic and weather to get over this. Don't go away.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Want a free copy of my book, Financial Physics? Well, go download it right now at vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Sorry. That was too short a break.
It's so good that they don't do the green room thing here because,
Too short a break for that joke, wasn't it? I'm sorry.
It was a good one. Save that for the special online edition or something?
I did actually record that, so.
Yeah, everything is recorded at all times.
Everything is recorded.
Plan on that. So,
hey, welcome back to Talking Real Money. Don here. I'm all better now. I'm telling jokes again and taking nourishment. 855-935-TALK. That is our telephone number. And our next caller happens to be Graham. Hi, Graham. Welcome to the show.
Hi. So I live out in the country, and a lot of my neighbors are elderly.
Do they have leaf blowers?
20 years ago, they... Do they have leaf blowers? Well, okay.
Tom lives in the country.
I don't believe they do.
All right. All right.
Good. Good.
So about 20 years ago, they formed an investment club. And they've been talking to me. They started talking to me about 6 years ago about investing in companies that do stem cells. And in the last... Then I started doing due diligence on it about 3 years ago myself. And now they're telling me that now is the time to speculate into it because they believe it's going to happen within the next 9 to 12 months. There's three of them that they're recommending. One's Israeli, one's Australian, and one is made in the United States. The U.S. one is called Athersys.
Athersys, yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah.
And the Australian one is Mesoblast.
Mesoblast.
And Mesoblast. And the Israeli one is Pluristem.
I'm aware of all three.
And they're telling me to just, if I can afford it, just take like $2,500 and stick it in there as a total speculation.
Okay.
So I'm kind of leaning towards Athersys, and I'm just wondering if you guys had any kind of an opinion.
No, none whatsoever.
I've done 3 years about due diligence on it.
None whatsoever. Because you just said what it was. It's kind of like saying, do you have any due diligence on the roulette wheel?
How big a part of your overall portfolio would this be, Graham?
Oh, about 2%.
That's a lot. Now, let me ask you a question.
I mean,
no, here's the critical.
Let me define that a little. Let me define that a little bit better. It's 2% of my fund money.
Okay, there you go.
Well, yeah.
Here's the better question, Tom. This is the better question.
Yep.
Is that money you would have no problem taking to Vegas and losing?
I would have no problem taking it to Vegas and playing craps. No, I would have no problem
with that at all.
Then, I haven't been to Vegas in 3 years now, though.
But now, see, this is your Vegas trip, which is fine. I don't have any problems with somebody speculating in a stock or two that they think has potential. I can tell you what I would do. Because I don't know which one is likely to be the winner. It would kind of be like the Regeneron Moderna Pfizer battle. Who won? Well, Moderna and Pfizer. But if you had money on all three, you would have done pretty well. Why not take your $2,500 or $3,000 and split it three ways? Because you can buy fraction. Although, let's see, Athersys is like $1.30.
Buy a couple shares of that.
Pluristem is $2.49, and Mesoblast is I can't even find Mesoblast. I can't find their stock.
There's a traded. Yeah. By the way, if you're going to Vegas and you're going to see a football game, you won't have much left for the craps table because of the cost of the game.
You don't. Who wants to go see the Las Vegas Raiders?
Come on. I think fine for take 2% of your fund money and go try. I like Don's idea, but we're into the diversification. You want to hit a home run, pick your best and go at it, I guess.
Yeah, but you can still win the game with two singles and a double. You still get the same thing. You hit two singles and a double, you're at home plate.
You had heard of the Athersys.
I'm sorry?
How have you heard of it?
News stories.
Heard this conversation.
News stories. I've heard of all of them. Pluristem, Mesoblast. I look at stocks once in a while just because I think it's curious and fascinating technology, and I think biotech is potentially huge. I just wouldn't want to bet on any one or two biotech companies because I'm a terrible gambler, and I've lost so much back in my younger days when I used to gamble on stocks, and I would never, ever, ever do it again. But if it was money I could absolutely afford to lose, I'd go for it. I'd pick any one of the three because they're all big established players in a relatively new game.
Tom and Don are talking real money.
Is your portfolio a mess? You may have a case of hodgepodgeitis, but don't worry, we can help. Just set up a free, no-obligation meeting with a Vestory advisor at Vestory.com. No sales pitch, guaranteed. That's Vestory.com.
Reality radio for a really great future. We're talking real money.
Ladies and gentlemen, all that stands between Tom and his lunch is talking real money.
Which, the obstacle, if we had more of these, then I'd be in better shape. So maybe we should throw a few more in.
Tom's feeding obstacle. Thanks for being a part of it. And if you give us a call at 855-935-TALK, he can't sneak out and grab a bite. Just give us a call.
That's a good point.
855-935-8255. And of course, every year, about this time of year, all of us across America buy the one, we never buy Forbes magazine until this time of year. The one time of year, when I used to get Forbes all the time when it was good.
I did too. When I liked the writing.
When it
was
good. That was like when Malcolm ran it.
So it's been a long time, really, since Forbes.
Malcolm was great.
To me, by the way, there's, if we're going to do that, then there's only really one great business magazine left.
There is one. Oh, Bloomberg Businessweek.
Yeah, it's
which
fabulous.
Isn't really the left because really it was Businessweek and it was almost out of business, and then Bloomberg bought it and
But it's still published. It's beautiful. The writing is terrific. They're great stories, and
you can tell
wonderful.
It's kind of like I read the Washington Post and the New York Times. I read a lot of papers. Mm-hmm. The Washington Post is now, in terms of their online paper anyway, such a better paper than the New York Times. You can tell there's somebody spending money on it. And that's like Bloomberg. But let's go back to Forbes. Why every year about this time do Tom and I rush to the newsstand? We do.
Get out of the way.
I didn't even know there were newsstands. But then I remember every year there's a newsstand. And I can go get Forbes to find out if I made it finally to the Forbes 400.
Okay, so the bad news is you have to go back to work on Monday because you're not on the Forbes 400.
I wasn't there.
No. But there are some other names you may recognize. Does that make you feel better?
No, it doesn't. Okay.
Despite his divorce, how many people come out of a divorce and are still estimated to be worth $177 billion with a B dollars? Well, that would be the guy that lives, well, I don't know where he lives anymore. He used to live kind of close by in relative terms. Jeff Bezos, I think he started Amazon. He also owns Blue Origin, right? And the Washington Post, the aforementioned Washington Post, which he's apparently piling money into, Don says. $177 billion for Jeff. Well done, sir.
Wow. That's less than he had last year, isn't it?
Well, it's got to be. I don't know. I'd have to go. That I do not know. But right on his heels, both here on Earth and in the air, is Tesla chief, SpaceX chief, Elon Musk at $151 billion. I mean, he was nowhere 10 years ago, right? Seriously, nowhere. Wow. I don't think so.
No. I don't know. I don't know. What I found fascinating was that coming out of nowhere, literally out of nowhere, to storm the list were two guys who helped found Moderna. They shot right up the list, so to speak.
Okay, there. Now
I had to get that one
joke.
In. I had to.
You knew you wanted to beat me to that. Yeah.
Dude, I had to do it. I needed it so badly. The guys from Moderna got their shot in the arm.
So are they vaccinated against big money?
No, they're vaccinated with big money. Their lives are looking.
What are their names? What are their names?
Oh, God. You're going to make me pronounce one of their names?
That's okay.
Nubar Afayan, Robert Langer.
Gesundheit, yeah.
And Timothy Springer, all now are billionaires, right in the $4 to $5 billion range.
Okay.
So they're pikers.
Their shot has worked for me so far.
Yeah, I got the same one.
Two of them. Yeah. Two of them. Bill Gates? Isn't he been giving away a lot of money, too, lately to Melinda et al.?
Apparently, these guys can't give it away fast enough.
Not enough. He's still worth $124 billion. Now, a lot of these things, of course, with Bezos, Elon Musk, and Gates is very dependent on what the stocks of those that they founded, basically, are doing, right? Because they still have large positions, even though Gates has for years been trying to sort of get out.
All I know is that I was just thrilled when I went scanned all the way down the list to the very, very bottom of the list, all the way down, and I went, where's Donald Trump?
Donald Trump was when he entered office, he, according to Forbes, worth $3.5 billion today, $2.5 billion. That's a long time ago. And here's the thing that's more fascinating than that, because and you could see that, right? Because he's into real estate.
Well, he was the president.
Real estate in big cities, you know, those big office buildings.
But remember,
buildings,
he says he's the best
businessman
ever. So why didn't he make money even then? But yeah, so go ahead.
If he had just taken that same $3.5 billion, put it in trust, he'd be worth $7 billion today in the S&P 500.
If he just invested in the S&P 500,
that would have
he would have doubled his wealth instead of reduced it by about 40% or half or 30%.
That'll do it.
Set your course for a great future with a free copy of our 60-page Better Retirement Guidebook at Vestory.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
For your real life and real future, Tom and Don are talking real money.
Welcome back to the show. I'm Don, that's Tom. We're stars of radio, television, and now podcasting. We are the kings of money podcasting. Well, okay, we're the
princes.
Jesters of money podcasting. We're in the court.
That's good. Yeah, we're there.
We're not the guy they have to listen to. You can listen to us on all your favorite podcast services, and you can call us live on Saturdays, or you can just call anytime and we'll answer your questions on the podcast at 855-935-TALK. We also have another way for you to send us questions. Wow, we make it easy for you to ask us questions. This is really easy. You just go to talkingrealmoney.com, and you either record it with your voice or you type it in. Like Tyler did. Ready?
Yes.
Can you tell me more about my wife's only available international mutual fund? This is so topical. In her new 401k. The fund is called Principal Diversified International Separate Account Z. Didn't we just talk about principal and 401ks?
Yeah. Okay.
I can't find the ticker. This statement in the prospectus, quote, available through a group annuity contract with Principal Life Insurance Company insurance products, unquote. This is a red flag, but there are no loads and a 0.53 expense ratio, but only 167 stocks in the portfolio.
Oh, good Lord.
Should I utilize this fund for the approximately 45% of the balance or utilize her Vanguard IRA for international balance of her total portfolio? Thoughts and advice will be ultra helpful. Thanks, Don and Tom. 5-year listener, and I'm only 35. Great content. And at this point, I'm only listening for the entertainment value.
Well, we'll take that. That's kind.
He's not listening for the money, here's what happens. It's an osmosis kind of thing. The money information seeps in through your pores. Just
you won't know
it. Gets into you. And by the time you're old like us, you'll be going, how did I end up with all this money? It just seeped into my pores.
Next thing you know, I think actually what you just mentioned there, Tyler, is exactly right. I think you're saying. I would own the international through Vanguard.
Yep.
Way more diversification.
Way more.
I mean, 160 stocks, way cheaper, you know, a tenth of the cost. I mean, or so. I didn't understand when you said something about annuity contracts.
This is a variable annuity product.
Ah, okay.
This is a variable annuity product, which means that the fund expenses are that, but that there are likely, since it's inside an annuity product, there will be other insurance policy costs, M&E and things like that. So your company, once again, did all of its, or your wife's company, once again, did all of its employees a disservice in falling for a pitch. I guarantee you there was a high-pressure sales pitch involved, a full-court press, probably golf and steak dinners and bottles of wine and, you know, strippers or whatever, that there was a full-court press put on. I'm not okay.
Wait a minute. Full court press with strippers? I just want to make sure I'm hearing this right.
It's basketball.
I got to think that through a little bit.
Okay.
Leave the dribbling out.
I meant that they brought people out to strip the company's furniture for free.
So it was, at the end of the
furniture strippers.
It was basically a slam dunk deal, is what you're saying at the end.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. That's the way most of these things are sold.
No, but I think the correct, this happens, by the way, in 401k plans where they, most of them do not have great international options. Now I'm seeing more and more that do have, you know, a diversified index type mutual fund as an option for international stocks, but still so many of them actively managed, high expense, and very narrow. If you go on the Vanguard Total International, I mean, how many stocks do you own in that? That you've got to own thousands, I imagine, right?
Because you own lots
of countries, and you own probably in most of them some emerging markets and maybe even some frontier markets to a very, very small amount. So you're
very
really global.
Small, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, a little bit. But you're very global, and to own 167, I'll guess right now that most of that is in the really developed countries, probably, I'll bet, a lot in Europe.
Almost all in Europe.
Yeah, you're not going to get exposure to some of those other places that you really should have exposure to.
So 167 companies in the principal fund. In VTI, the Vanguard Total International Index ETF, 3,970 stocks.
So 4,000. I mean, you can see, so 167 is not diversification.
And 0.54% expense ratio versus...
Plus, as you said, other things
versus
we may not know.
0.03.
I can't do the math, but it's... quite a bit less expensive.
Well, it's 0.51.
Yeah, and then
less
so if it was 0.05, it'd be 10 times less expensive.
So,
anyway,
yeah,
so you get the
it's
idea.
A lot. Basically, what it means is if the two portfolios performed identically, which they won't, but if they did, the Vanguard portfolio would every single year return a little over 0.5% more to you per year. That is, I mean, we are talking real money now.
Now, and who, by the way, when it comes to principal, do they have their own investment people that are,
So
I thought maybe they hired that out to somebody.
No, they're in-house.
Okay,
their
but
own
again,
people.
Why would you ever, it doesn't make, that's not their area of specialty.
They think it is.
It's like hiring Amazon to make lemonade or something.
They call themselves Principal Financial. They consider themselves to be a financial services firm, a full service financial services firm. But the reality is I don't want to slam capitalism. I like it. I'm a capitalist. But my gosh, I'm telling you, it just feels like so many companies are more about making more than doing better. And that just bothers me. It does. It bothers me. And I'm a big fan. I'm a capitalist. I like making money. I've built businesses. I've done it successfully and unsuccessfully. I've failed and succeeded. And
that's true. I can attest to that, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we kind of followed each other's careers as we've succeeded and failed along the way.
Exactly.
And then one day we went, well, why don't we do it together? And then if we succeed or fail, we'll do it at the same time. And then darn it, we succeeded this time. I don't know what happened.
Thank you all for helping
Actually,
us
we did.
That
we
happen.
Didn't succeed as wildly as we could have if we were selling annuities.
We figured out that number, right?
If we sold indexed annuities, it was $53 million you and I would have made selling. And we wouldn't have needed a staff to do that. The two of us could have sold indexed annuities and split $53 million.
Wait, I haven't decided on my third act yet.
Oh, we're doing steak dinners.
Over.
We're doing steak dinners.
I love Ruth Chris as much as the next guy.
Yeah, we get that paid. We can write it off.
Yeah,
and $53 million.
Please, no brokers or financial advisors welcome to.
Oh
those
no! You see, I got to tell you, at mine, I would welcome hecklers. As a matter of fact, I would do my steak dinner with. I would hang a red curtain, and put a stool up there with a bottle of water on it. And a microphone on a stand and one spotlight, you know.
Just
I want to make it
right
look
there.
Like a comedy club, and then I want to invite hecklers because you know what? It'll be so entertaining. People are going to buy my product anyway.
Oh, they will, because they'll only hear the one thing, right?
Right. I'm going to heckle everybody.
Guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Right. I guarantee you.
Guaranteed.
I guarantee you, and I'm going to learn to be a ventriloquist so I can have my dummy say things like, "I guarantee you." Part of the return of the stock market.
With none of the...
Very little to almost... I got to come up with a better word than guaranteed that doesn't mean anything. 855-935-TALK. Call us anytime.
A second opinion could save your life either physically or fiscally. Let one of our Vestry advisors help you save your future at Vestry.com, V-E-S-T-O-R-Y.com.
Your guides to a really great financial future. Tom and Don are talking real money.
Never mind the steaks at my gatherings. I'm just going to serve drinks until people almost pass out and sign the papers. Hey, I'm joking. We're not going to really do that. We actually do want to help people. We want to help you manage your money better. If you've got this messy, hodgepodgey portfolio and you're going, I don't know what I own and what do I do? Help me. We will help you. We will. We will help you. And here's the best part. We'll help you a little for free. We won't help you forever for free. You got to pay us for that. We're capitalists. But we'll help you a little bit for free. We'll give you some time with one of our advisors. No charge, no obligation, no sales pitch. No high-pressure sales pitch. You're not going to get bugged. You're going to get help. People do get help. All you do is go to Vestry.com and sign up. Just go to Vestory.com.
We hope you realize that the information provided on Talking Real Money is for educational and hopefully enjoyable purposes only. Providing personalized financial planning or investing advice takes time, so please consult with a really good fee-only fiduciary investment, tax, or legal advisor. We know a good one. Investing must always involve risk. In other words, you can and probably will lose money at times. Also, as much as you want it, knowing can accurately and consistently predict the future. So past performance doesn't tell you a darn thing about what the future will bring. Unlike many other programs that say something similar, Talking Real Money is not trying to get you to buy or sell any financial products or securities. Instead, the program is provided as a public service by Vestry, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Thanks for listening, and please visit TalkingRealMoney.com for more information and disclosures. That should keep the lawyers happy.